You have your Bible, we'll turn to Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter number 1. We're going to hear from the old preacher. Amen. Ecclesiastes chapter number 1, the Bible says, "The words of the preacher, the son of David, king of Jerusalem, vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. What profit hath a man for all his labor, which he taketh under the sun? One generation passeth away, and another generation cometh. But the earth abideth forever. The sun also ariseth, and the sun goeth down and hasteneth to his place where he arose. The wind goeth toward the south and turneth about unto the north. It whirleth about continually, and the wind returneth again according to its circuits. All the rivers run into the sea, yet the sea is not full. Unto the place from whence the rivers come, thither they return again. All things are full of labor. Man cannot utter it. His eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor his ear filled with hearing. The thing that hath been, it is that which shall be. And that which is done is that which shall be done. And there is no new thing under the sun. Is there anything for whereof it may be said, see, this is new? It hath been already of old time, which was before us. There is no remembrance of former things, neither shall there be any remembrance of things that are to come with those that shall come after. I, the preacher, was king over Israel in Jerusalem. I gave my heart to seek and search out my wisdom concerning all things that are done under heaven. This sore travail hath God given to the sons of man to be exercised therewith. I have seen all the works that are done under the sun. And behold, all this is vanity and vexation of spirit, which is crooked cannot be made straight, and that which is wanting cannot be numbered. I commune with mine own heart, saying, lo, I am come to great estate. I have gotten more wisdom than all they that have been before me in Jerusalem. Yea, my heart had great experience of wisdom and knowledge. And I gave my heart to know wisdom, and to know madness and folly. I perceive that this also is vexation of spirit. For in much wisdom is much grief, and he that increaseth knowledge increaseth sorrow." I want to preach a little while this morning on a strange topic. Is life worth living? His life worth living? As we look at this and we see the old preacher, the title of this book is Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes, where we get the our word for the church, ecclesia, which is the church. And we see the preacher. The Bible says here in verse 1 that this is the words of the preacher. Now, a preacher is one who calls out an assembly. That's what a preacher does. He calls out assembly that they might discuss a topic. Amen. The Bible says that a preacher is to proclaim with a loud voice and with full authority. Praise God, because he knows what he's talking about. Amen. I can tell as your pastor this morning, I know exactly what I'm talking about when I say Jesus Christ loves you. Praise God, with a godly love. And he wants to help you this morning. Praise God, and he wants to help me. And we see the preacher. I believe he was wanting to help his people as he begins to preach to them in the book of Ecclesiastes and begins to lift up the Lord and help them to see where they are and help them to realize that they something better on the other side. Pray God, what a glimpse of glory this morning we get when we realize and recognize the good God of the book. Praise God, he begins to speak to us even when we're in a valley of indecision. Praise God, he helps us to make those decisions. Amen. Praise God. So we wonder, is life worth living? Amen. Sometimes you may wonder about that. And we see the old preacher here. Amen. He's the Bible says it's son of David, king of Jerusalem. We know that it was Solomon. Amen. We know that he prayed and he didn't ask God for wealth. He didn't ask God for a mansion. He didn't ask God for the things of this world. You know what Solomon asked God for? He said, God, if you'd give me wisdom, just give me wisdom from the throne of grace that I could lead your people Israel and the way that you'd have us to go. He said, Lord, that's all I want. That's all I ask from you. Lord, if you'd just give me enough sense, praise God, to do the thing. Well, glory. That'll bring glory and honor to your name. I will say, young'uns, if we get a hold of God this morning, say, God, just give me enough good sense to follow Jesus Christ, to stay with the Lord, praise God, all the days of my life. So one day in a little while, I can stroll into the portals of glory and hear, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Amen. Solomon, all his glory. Now the Bible tells us that he was the wisest. He was the wealthiest, and he was the most powerful man on earth at one time. Amen. The wisest, the wealthiest, and the most powerful man on earth at one time. But the conclusion that he has here in verses 1, chapter number 1, chapter number 2, is that is life really worth living? Or is life just something that's really meaningless? It has no meaning. You might say he's asking the question that we might ask ourselves sometimes. What am I here for? Amen. Why are we here? What is the meaning of our lives? Why are we here on this earth right now in this day, in this hour in which we live? I can see Solomon as he asked this. Amen. And he's asking this with the sincerity of his heart. Because he's trying to figure out, you say, preacher, he's the wisest man in the world, praise God. God done blessed him and give him all this wealth. God done blessed him, give him all this power, but he still had questions. Amen? Hey, it don't matter who you are. It don't matter how rich you are, how wealthy you are, how wise you are, praise God. You're still going to have questions. Amen? You're still going to want the answers. Amen? Solomon looked around. A preacher looked around. He looked around the world and he seen creation. Amen. And how creation continued to function just like it had always functioned. Hello? You know, it blows my mind when these people say, well, you know, it's global warming. We got to do something. Amen. Hello? We got to do something or we're going to burn up. Amen. God says this ain't going to exist, hey God, as long as He wants it to. Amen. In verse number 4, he said, one generation passed away and another generation cometh, but the earth abideth forever. Amen. If they'd read their Bible, they'd throw a monkey wrench in all their shenanigans. Amen. Amen. Praise God. It would upset their apple cart. If they just realized, God says, hey, listen, I've got this. Don't worry about it. Now, should we be good stewards of the earth? Sure, we should. Amen. We are, we're not going to go out and burn old tires, praise God, in our backyard because we like the smell. Amen. It's common sense. We take care of the things we have, praise God, the best that we can. But God says He's going to take care from generation to generation. God says, I've got this. Amen. He said, sun also rises and sun goeth down, hasten to its place where He rose. Amen. He said, the sun comes up in the morning. And the sun goes down in the evening. Amen? That's what happens at my house. What about your house? Amen. Sun comes up in the east. Sun sets in the west. Amen. Praise God. That's what happens. He said, the wind goeth toward the south and turneth about to the north. It whirleth about continually, and the wind returneth again according to its circuits. Amen? He said, the wind blows. The wind bloweth where it will. Praise God. It circles around. I hate it when it does that when you're hunting. Amen. Deer will bust you every time when the wind swirls. Amen. I mean, you plan and you put your little puffer up there and you figure out which way. Hey, John, that breeze is blowing. And you sit with that to your back, praise God, so it's blowing the deer scent to you. Hey, sometimes, praise God, if you're paying attention, you can smell them coming.
Amen.
Amen. Especially during the rut. A stink.
Amen.
Amen. So you get set up, praise God. You get the wind, praise God, where the wind, and then about that time it'll circle. Amen. And praise God, you can't depend on it because it does it. The Bible says it does it all the time. I used to say, why does this have to do that? Amen. Don't they know that I've got this figured out? That big old 8 points right over yonder, he's going to come right down this trail. And about the time you think, well, it's about time for him, he comes to trail camera, said 8:30 every morning, going to his bedding area, and then the wind blows. Swirls around. But the Bible said, Brother John, that it's going to do that. Because that's what God does. Don't preach, says, I can't figure it out. Amen. He said, I'm looking around. He said, everything's just staying right in line just like God said it would. He said, all the rivers run into the sea. But now watch this. Yet the sea is not full. Think about it. All the rivers, all the tributaries, all flow into the sea. But the sea don't get full and run over. Only thing I like about going to the beach, and after about an hour, I'm ready to go home. Amen. I like the mountains, okay? But the only thing I like about the beach is I like it when the tide goes out and when the tide comes in. Because I can just see my God, Brother Malachi, standing there on the beach, and that tide starts to come in, and it starts coming in, and it starts cutting, and it gets to a certain place, and God says, ho, right there. Amen. You know what it does? It stops right there. Amen. And when it starts going out, it goes out, and God says, ho, stop right there. Amen. You say, well, God don't do that. That's controlled by the moon and makes the tide. Praise God. Who controls it? All God does. Amen. And the old preacher had her down pat. He said, praise God, the rivers contribute. They continue to flow into the sea, but the sea don't fill up. In other words, praise God, it don't run over. Hello? He said, the place from whence the rivers come thither, they return again. Where does rivers come from? Rivers come from springs. Springs go to creeks. Creeks goes to rivers. Rivers goes to the ocean. Amen? God says, don't worry about it. Don't have to think. He said, I've got this. Amen? See, we like the old preacher sometimes. We try to figure all this out. And we get all anxious. Oh, goodness, what are we going to do? Over there, the Euphrates River is drying up. People are having a cow. Amen? What's going on? Praise God. Jesus said last days that the Euphrates would dry up. Because God's got big plans for that area. Amen? Didn't take him by surprise. So he looks around, he sees these things being fulfilled. He said, all things are full of labor, and man can't utter it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, and ear filled with hearing. He said, there's constantly something that needs to be done. Are you hearing me this morning? If we ain't careful, the devil will distract us with things. Amen? The old preachers tell us here, said that the vanity of vanities, he said, we get so caught up in all the things that God's got control of, hello, that we forget to keep our eyes and our mind on God. Amen? Just continue to trust him. So he looks around and he sees how creation continues to function even without his assistance. You know, we're handy people. We want to lay hands on things. Amen? So when he looks around and he can't see, he sees things still continuing in nature and creation. Then he looks back. He looks back on history. Amen? And how history continues to repeat itself. We don't get this. Amen. These things happening in our country and in the world today. Things that's happened in the past. And we put up monuments and things to them so we'll remember, right? Said this is what happened, so we put up statues and monuments to remind us of what happened. So we don't do the same bad things again, right? So what happens when we tear down the monuments, we take down the statues, we forget those things, and then we go and do it all over again. God's trying to remind us here, praise God, trying to bring to our remembrance, amen, praise God, that God and history continues to repeat itself. Verse number 9, he says, this is the thing that hath been, it is that which shall be, and the thing which is done is that which shall be done. And there's no new thing under the sun. He said, there's nothing new, said it's all the same. It just history just keeps repeating itself over and over and over. Amen. He said, I was a preacher, and verse number 10, he says, is there anything whereof it may be said, see, this is new? Is there anything that's really new? Amen. You say, well, preacher, there's that new technology, new things coming out. Amen. It's not new. It's all elements, praise God. It's just put, now listen to me, it's just elements that's put together in a different fashion to serve a different purpose. Amen. All created by God. Amen. Hello? Lest man, as Josh said this morning, lest we get too heady and high-minded and think we did that. It ain't us done that, praise God. It was God that created that. It's God that give us the elements. It's God that give us the wisdom. And without that, we wouldn't do nothing. Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. Amen. So we see him playing out here. There's not really anything new. He said, there's no remembrance of the former things. Neither shall there be any remembrance of the things that are to come with those that shall come after. So he says that we see these things as we play out and said, really ain't nothing new. We've seen these things happen before and they're going to happen again. Looking back, and we see history repeating itself time after time. Amen. We see in our families the same thing. We have families, we grow up, we send them to school, we educate them, we try to teach them, we try to instruct them. I pray that they grow up, they go out, they meet a girl, they meet a boy, they get married, and they start all over. That's what we do. And we make out pretty good as long as we do it in the Lord. Amen. We're going to get there in a minute. But he said, all this stuff is just vanity. It's vexation of spirit. Amen. Praise God. So we see him playing out. We see him looking around, see him looking back, and then we see him looking within. Amen. Wisdom and experience is there. Amen. Praise God. Wisdom and experience. He said, I, the preacher, was king over Israel in Jerusalem. And I gave my heart to seek and to search out my wisdom concerning all things that are done under heaven. This sore travail had God given to the sons of men to exercise therewith. So God gives us wisdom. Where's wisdom come from? It comes from God. No wonder the old preacher had enough sense to say, Lord, I want wisdom. I don't want to be a dummy. I want you to give me wisdom. Give me wisdom from the throne of grace. Amen. That's the best wisdom you can get, praise God, is the wisdom that we get from the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Because the Lord, hey, listen, in case you didn't know it, the Lord knows all things. There's nothing hidden from him. He said so. Amen. If he said so, then we can believe it. He knows everything. He knows our lying down and rising up, Deuteronomy chapter 6. He knows what we're thinking, why we think it. Amen. He knows the thoughts and the attitudes of our heart. He said to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit. Amen. Praise God. He knows. So we just fall in line, praise God, and realize, praise God, that within as we're searching. And Solomon was searching, praise God, and he was trying to figure out the mysteries of life. But he couldn't explain those mysteries. Verse number 12, he said, I was a preacher. The preacher was a king over Israel. So I was king. He was in control. If anybody ought to have been able to get the wisdom and knowledge and have the thinking and the logic to go with it, ought to have been him. Look verse 33, no. He said, I gave my heart to seek and search out the wisdom concerning things that are done under heaven. This sore travail hath God given to the sons of men to exercise therewith. So he says, I was trying to explain it. But he said, I couldn't explain it. I can't explain the God of heaven. If I could explain to you the God of heaven, praise God, you can't put him in a box. Amen. Praise God. If you can explain your God, then your God ain't my God.
Amen.
My God's too big for that. I can't explain his greatness and his vast goodness. I can just say, praise God, that he is that. He's vast and he's good. He's a good God.
Amen.
And he loves us in a good manner. Praise the Lord. He says in verse number 14, he says, I have seen all the works that are done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and vexation of spirit. He said, all these things that's done He said, "Is vanity and a vexation of spirit." Vanity, that's exercise, praise God, of pride and admiration, praise God, for our achievements, what we've done. Amen? That's right. To bring about an objective. And he said, "It's just vanity. It's a vexation of spirit." Praise God. That vexation of spirit, that's a suppression. That's a depression of the spiritual guidance that God gives us, that He wants to give us. Sometimes we so rudely neglect that spiritual guidance. Amen? In all His wisdom, praise God, He said they steal something, even in wisdom, He said they something missing. He couldn't figure it out. He said, "I don't know what's missing." Two chapters, right? Chapter one, chapter two. He said, "I'm still trying to figure some things out, trying to put some things together." Now later on, He'll put this thing together and He'll say, "Glory be to God, it's Him." Amen. I figured out a long time ago, praise God, it's Him. It's not me, but it's the God of heaven. So he realized that he couldn't solve the problems of the world. Amen. Praise the Lord. Look at verse 15. He said that which is crooked cannot be made straight. And that which is wanting cannot be numbered. He said, that's crooked. I can't fix it. I can't straighten it up. He said, that's missing. He said, I can't put it in order. I can't get it to come out. Amen. He said, I commune with mine own heart, saying, "Lo, I am come to great estate. I have gotten more wisdom than all they that had been before me in Jerusalem. Yea, my heart had great experience in wisdom and knowledge." He said, "I've attained to it all." He said, "I've got the wealth." He said, "I've got the wisdom. I've got the wealth." Praise God. He said, "I've got the power." He said, "But I still can't figure it out." Amen. He said, "Something is missing." You know what the preacher's problem was? Hello? You know what the preacher's big mistake was? Come on. It was leaving God out. Amen. Sometimes we try to figure it out. We get all the answers. We're trying to pull it all together, but we forget to remember God. The old preacher and his wisdom, he forgot the main ingredient to the recipe. Amen. My wife's aunt is a master chef, and she cooks wonderful recipes, things. And sometimes on Facebook, she shares those recipes with my wife. But her recipe, my wife's, never comes out and tastes just exactly like Heidi's. Never does. I told my wife, I said, "You know why that is? She's not going to give you the full recipe. She's going to leave just a little something out because that's always going to be her recipe. Yours is never going to be exactly like..." No, yours is never going to be as good as hers. I'll just tell you. Man. It's never going to be Heidi's recipe. It's never going to be what she puts on the table, because there's always something. Amen. If something's missing, one thing's missing, it changes the recipe. And the great preacher, he's just preaching, and praise God, and he's trying to figure this thing out, but he said there's something that's missing. And what was missing was he was leaving God out. Amen. He had forgot how God was able to even intervene in the lives of men. See, God had even intervened. God's still intervening in the lives of men. Hello? He said, these stuff, they stuff that has been and will be, these things that are and have never changed. He said, "I just can't fear." He said, "If that's the way it is," in his wisdom, he said, "how in the world can anything be different?" Amen? He said, it's just like vanity. It's just like a vexation of spirit. Because he was leaving God out. See, God had done some great things. God had done new things. Praise God for his people. I got to thinking about this. You know, he done a lot of new things, praise God, as he is bringing the nation of Israel to be the nation of Israel. You remember when they come up out of Egypt? They come up out of Egypt. God brought them out with a mighty hand. Brought them over there to the Dead Sea, praise God. Got them to a place they couldn't go no further. The sea was in front of them. The Egyptians were behind them. They were trapped with nowhere to go. Amen. What'd God do? God, praise God, in the night he blew to these nostrils and the water was parted. Praise God, it congealed, stood up in a heap. And in the morning, praise God, Josh, he said they went across dry shod. Amen. What God could do, praise God, God opened the sea. God done new things, praise God, for the children of Israel. Because he needed them to. Amen. They got over there, praise God. Now listen, they got over there and Joshua got up there to the shores. Praise God, they was getting ready to go into the promised land. And Joshua got there to the shores of Jordan. Jordan, Bible said, was overflowing its banks. But because it's the time of the summer rains and the melting of the snows on Mount Hermon. And said the way the Jordan was overflowing its banks. But God says, listen, Joshua, it's time to proceed. It's time to go home. Praise God, just a little further. It's time to cross the river. Amen. No man ever tried to cross that river at this time of year. It just didn't happen. But God Almighty told him, he said, Joshua, he said, do you trust me? Joshua said, yes, Lord, I trust you. He said, well, then you get the priest, praise God, you get them to get the Ark of the Covenant, praise God, upon their shoulders. And when he said, when their feet hit the brink of the waters, when they touch the water's edge, he said, I'll take care of it from there. Amen. And the Bible says God done new things that day. He stopped that river that was overflowing, that was running through that Jordan River. A lot of places it's about as wide as this church, or maybe a little wider. Some places it's wider, some places it's not wide at all. But it's overflowing its banks. And Joshua said, but he said, youngins, listen. He said, get prayed up. Tomorrow we're moving out. And God says it's time. They looked at him like he had lost his mind. Amen. He said, yeah, I can hear him saying, he said, Mama, listen. He said, I don't know what's going to happen. We ain't ever tried to cross a river, praise God, this time of year. Amen. Going to try some new things, I reckon. They said they got them, aren't they? Prayed about it. They got things right with God. They walked over, and priests walked over the edge of the water. And when their feet touched that water, the Bible said them waters stopped. Amen. Praise God. Where them feet, a priest was. Just like they had built a mighty dam. Amen. Praise God. And said it started building back behind them. For miles and miles, that water began to build back. And the Bible said the children of Israel marched across on dry land. Praise God. God can do again what God's done in days of old. Praise God. He's done it before. He can do it again. Praise His name. See, the water stopped. God did that for His people. And God can do it again. Joshua got on the other side of Jordan. He come up there next to Jericho. That's where they crossed, nowhere next to Jericho. Praise God. And they got it wasn't long before they got into a battle with the Amorites. You remember the story of that? They was a fighting the Amorites. Praise God. And they was a whooping them good. Praise God. But the day was getting long. And the day was getting, praise God, toward the end. And Joshua looked up and said, God, Lord, I know you're doing this. I know you got this under control. God, if you just, praise God. He said, if you'll just give us a little bit more time. He said, we'll whoop the devil today for your glory. Amen. Bible said, praise God, what God had never done before. I said, he done that day. Praise God, said he took the sun, paused it in the sky, took the moon and paused them in the sky. The Bible said, for the time of a day, amen, the sun stood still in the sky. Praise God. God did that. Amen. Stopped it in the sky for the better part of a day. Said scientists trying to figure out. That's not the only time. Remember Hezekiah was sick. Amen. Hezekiah was sick. He's about to die. In the book of Isaiah, said he was dying. He's on his deathbed. Isaiah done went in. He said, "Hey, listen," said, "you need to set your house in order." Said, "You're going to die, and not live." You know the story. Hezekiah, he turned to the wall. Amen. It's good to be prayed up. It's good to be able to communicate with God. Let me tell you. Because Hezekiah turned his face to the wall. He said, Lord, I've been trying to do my best. He's like the rest of us. He said, I'm not perfect. But he said, Lord, I've been trying to do my best to live for you and to lead these people, praise God, in your direction. Amen. And before old Isaiah got out of the building, Brother Bill, he said, hey, Isaiah, he said, go back in there and tell old Hezekiah that I'm going to give him a little more time. So I'm going to give him a little bit more time. Amen. Oh, his guy went back in there to him and he said, well, how am I going to know it? Amen. Said, how am I going to know it? He said, well, said, what would you like God to do? He can turn this thing ahead 10 degrees, the day ahead 10 degrees, or he can turn it backwards 10 degrees. And Hezekiah said, well, it's going to go ahead 10 degrees anyway. You ain't going to trick me with that. He said, how about backing it up 10 degrees? Amen. So the Bible said that God stopped, paused the sun, and backed it up 10 degrees. Praise God. That's what God's able to do, praise the Lord. And He done it for His glory, and He done it for His people. What He's done before, praise God. He's done new things before. He can do new things now. Praise God. New things for me and you. He said, preacher, what's the difference? When we realize, listen to me, that God is in charge. He's in charge of humanity. He's in charge of nature. He's in charge of everything. Amen. He's still in charge. He's large and in charge. Praise God. What He does, He doesn't do in vain. He does it for us and for His glory, that we might magnify Him. Scientists several years ago was trying to figure out some things. They said, this is something just don't add up. He said, as time in the universe, they figured it out from a certain point to a certain point, but they said there's some time that's missing. Said, we just can't calculate it. We can't figure it out. This old fellow said, well, what's missing? He said, well, it's looking like there's a day, a whole day, and a part of a day. And said, it's missing. We can't figure it out. The old fellow happened to be a Bible scholar, and he said, oh, I know what that is. He said, if you go back over Joshua, praise God, he said, there was a time that the sun stood still for the better part of a day. And so they got to looking at it, and they said, well, you're right. That takes care of it. What about this other part? He said, well, when old Hezekiah was sick, amen, God told him He's going to cure him, He's going to give him a few more years. Amen. And Hezekiah said, well, just to prove it, said, would you back her up 10 degrees? And they looked at it, they done the calculation, said, well, there you go. He said, that's the time fits. Amen. Did you doubt? Did you doubt that time would fit when God has put it together according to His purpose and for His glory? Amen. But Solomon looks at this, the preacher looks at it, and he said, is life worth living if this is the way it is, if it's not going to be better, if we can't determine our own fate? Amen. But he forgot. His mistake was forgetting to remember God. I'm afraid, young'uns, we do that all the time. We get so caught up in what we call life that we forget to remember God and make Him a part of it. Let me tell you, young folks, listen to me. Look up here, Pastor Jeff. Let me give you a piece of advice. Just receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and stay with Him all the days of your life. Trust in Him every day. And He'll bless you and He'll help you, and you'll come out a whole lot better on the other side. I mean, you'll come out with the help and the blessings of God. You'll come out with the wisdom, praise God, to understand the wisdom, praise God, to do the things that bring glory and honor to His name. And you'll have an ever-present help all the time. Amen, praise God. That's just what He does. But the old preacher was getting discouraged. Amen. And he says this in verse 16. He said, I commune my heart. Lord, I came to the great estate and have gotten more wisdom all day that had been before me in Jerusalem. He said, I've got all this wisdom. He said, I know a lot of things. Amen. He said, that have been before me in Jerusalem. Yea, my heart had great experience of wisdom and knowledge. He said, I asked God and God granted it to me. He gave me wisdom and knowledge. I've got vast amounts of wisdom and knowledge. Wisdom and knowledge will not do us any good if we leave God out of the recipe. Amen. It'd be like my wife's aunt. Is that aunt, cousin? Cousin. When she gives her a recipe, if you leave one part out of it, it ain't going to be as good. Amen. But he said, I gave my heart to know wisdom and to know madness and folly. I believe that this also is a vexation of spirit. Amen? He said there's a suppression of spiritual guidance here. He said, I just can't figure it out. He said, I've got the wisdom and the knowledge, and so I'm trying to apply it. But he said he forgot to remember God and the Spirit of God that gives us the guidance through His Word. Amen. Wisdom and knowledge without the guidance of the Spirit, praise God, is for naught. Is life worth living? It is if you're a child of God. Following the pathways of righteousness for His sake. Amen. So, and he goes on, he says, for in much wisdom is much grief, and he that increases knowledge increases sorrow. Said wisdom can increase your sorrow. Sometimes the old saying is, you're too smart for your britches. Amen. In other words, you're too smart within yourself. We need our wisdom and encouragement to be from the Lord. Amen. See, there's an old rascal that promises us wisdom. Remember the devil? He promises wisdom. He wants to impart wisdom to us. He wants us to know wisdom. But he wants to know it apart from God. Amen. He don't want us to have a godly wisdom. He wants us to have a human wisdom. You know, a self-seeking, self-satisfying wisdom. And then remember what he told them over there in Genesis chapter 2, down about verse 17? And then he got a hold of Eve over there in Genesis chapter 3, verse 1 through 5. And he said, God knows that you want to be wise, and what he's doing, he's holding that from you. Amen. And he says, you can have wisdom apart from God. He said, you don't need God. Amen. What's the world telling us today? I mean, we're going to schools, and I actually tell you, you go in schools, and a whole lot of people is telling the world, they're telling our children that we can give you all this wisdom without God. And our world is running amok. Amen? They're in a mess. Because we got wisdom without godliness is no wisdom at all. That's what Satan offers us. Amen? It leads us to sin. And the end of sin is death. Amen. The devil, all he wants to do is put you in the grave without Christ. He wants to doom and damn your soul forever. Amen. But praise God, I'm glad for that grace, ain't you? Amen. See, what we need to do in wisdom, is life worth living? Yeah, praise God. When we grow in the grace of God, when we grow in the grace of God, we grow in the grace of God and in the knowledge of God. See, it takes the grace of God to give us the knowledge of God. Ain't that what Peter would tell us? Peter would tell us, praise God, that we need to grow in the knowledge of God. Let me just show you. 2 Peter chapter number 3, verse 17. He said, yea, therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things, and we know a lot of things, don't we? Lots and lots of things. He said, you know these things. He said, before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. But listen to what he says in verse 18. He said, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. He said, so what we need to do, he said, we need to grow. And is life worth living? Sure it is. When we have God Almighty, we have the grace of God, and we grow in that grace, praise God, closer to the Lord, praise, looking for that glorious day when we'll be over yonder. We're all heading somewhere. Amen. I hope you're heading in the right direction. We're heading up to heaven to be with the Lord. And so shall Bible say we ever be with Him. Amen. Life's worth living when we live it in the Lord. Live it for the Lord Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. The old preacher says, it's vanity, it's a vexation of spirit. Amen. He said, what happened? Through excessive pride, I suppressed the Spirit of God. I had all kinds of wisdom, but I forgot to remember my Lord and Savior. Amen. You can be the smartest person in the world today, but if we ever forget to remember Jesus in any aspect of our life, you're backing up. Amen. The old preacher, he says, hey, listen. He said, this thing can be just vanity and the vexation of spirit. Amen. If you don't do it right. But he said, if you seek that wisdom and that guidance and that assurance, amen, through the Lord God, Lord Jesus Christ and through the Holy Spirit, he said, then life is worth living. Amen. Life is worth living. Praise God for God's glory. That one day, in just a little while, we'll see him. What a glorious day that'll be. And then we can applaud him and give him praise and glory because he brought us through and he gave us the knowledge to know him and the free pardon of sin so that we, you and I, could be saved so we can spend eternity with him. So we can see those new things of God. See, the old preacher's caught up and he said, there's no new things. There's no new thing under the sun. Nothing's new. Praise God. The Lord says, praise God. He said, listen, son. He said, one day all things are going to become new. Amen. Praise God. I'm glad it started on the day of salvation. God saved me. I became a new creature in Christ Jesus. Amen. And one day in a little while, praise God, I'm going to go to a glorious city and there's going to be a whole lot of new things. Because all those old things are going to pass away. All that old death and dying and sadness and crying is going to be gone forever. And we're going to be with Lord Jesus Christ in joy throughout the ages. Bless His holy name.